Just to check in, how many of you know what emoticons are? Ah, okay. On this side, I didn't look over here. Well, more or less, yeah, okay. For those of you that don't know, ask the two that wave their hands. Ask them afterwards, okay, and they'll tell you. But to help, they've even made a movie out of emoticons, so we might as well get to know them. I think they're a part of our world today. Emoticons are those little, sometimes animated, sometimes just static faces. Back when all we could do was keys on a keyboard, like a typewriter, we might do a colon and then a closed parentheses to look like a sideways smiley face. Well, now you don't have to do that. You can have a regular smiley face. You can have a smiley face with hearts for eyes. You can have a smiley face with green eyes and the tongue going, oh, like I'm sick, which people sometimes use instead of actually putting words in their text. They just send that one out. You know, I don't feel well. There's emoticons that are hearts, that are glasses of beer for those Germans who want to remember to celebrate and enjoy a glass here, because in heaven, you know, there isn't any, right? I heard a song about that once. There's emoticons for just about everything. But I've noticed something. I've noticed that in certain settings, emoticons just don't quite seem to capture what somebody really needs to say. You know one of those places? The hospital at night. There in the ICU unit is the place I most often found family members awake. You could see by their face they were worried. I didn't need an emoticon floating over their head to know just by seeing that. And if I was invited, I would start a conversation. And one of the first things they would usually say to me is, wow, I'm kind of surprised to find a chaplain floating around here at night. And I'd usually try to just sort of dismiss that and say, you know, I'm here just like the nurses and the doctors and everybody else trying to take care of your loved one. Then I'll usually turn it back and say, you know, I don't find that many people awake here at night in the hospitals. I'm kind of surprised to find you awake at 3 o'clock in the morning. And they might share that they're worried, or maybe they can't get the words out. And usually about that time, I'll say something like, let me guess, because that's what love does, right? And then they'll nod, and a tear will come, and the story will usually come out. You see, I think emoticons can't quite capture all that the word L-O-V-E really means. We can put it in there. I heart New York, I heart pizza, you know, all this and that. But when the Apostle John writes these incredible words, he doesn't even really have the word love in here, but it's all love. The one who was from beginning, the one that we heard teach us, the one that we saw with our eyes, healing the broken and the blind. The one that we looked at and watched as he multiplied the loaves and raised the dead. And the one that our hands touched when he was there after the cross and he showed us his hands and feet and said, peace be with you. The one we have seen and heard who showed us love. That's the one we want to talk to you about. At the end of his gospel, John has this statement that probably makes sense to us in one way. He says, you know, I wrote here in this gospel of the signs and of the teachings of Jesus so that you might believe he is the Son of God and by believing have life in his name. If I were to try to capture down everything that he said or did, I imagine that not even all the books and all the world could hold that. That's because love is so big, isn't it? It's hard sometimes for us to find the words. And so we'll act in love, or we'll write a note in love, or we'll sometimes just hold someone, a crying child or a fearful loved one. We'll hold them in our hands because there is something about love that has to be seen and heard and felt to really know that it's love. I think that's why God had Jesus come at Christmas. Love couldn't just send an emoticon, couldn't just send an angel. Love had before sent prophets and proclaimed things and miracles, but love ultimately had to come down, to come and enter into our humanity, enter into our suffering, enter into our fear and our difficulties and our just tied up knot full of emotions and human problems and say, here I am, here to help, here to love you through it. And what a beautiful gift that is that Jesus gave to us. This life appeared and we've seen it and we proclaim it to you and testify that this eternal life, this life and love that was with the Father has appeared to us. If God's greatest motivation, God so loved the world, his greatest object of his affection, that he, the greatest motivation of all, love, in love, gave his one and only Son his greatest gift. That we got the greatest invitation, that whoever believes should not perish, the greatest deliverance, but have everlasting life, the greatest future possible. If God did all of that, if that's what love looks like from God, you and I are also called to live out that love. If the love is his greatest motivation, he calls for it to be our greatest motivation. If love is his greatest action, he calls for it to be our greatest action. And that's when it starts to get hard, isn't it? It starts to get hard sometimes. Have you ever noticed that the people who know you the best are oftentimes the ones who can hurt you the most? Have you ever noticed that the very raw spot you have in your life, like maybe you grew up, let's just, you know, with a really critical parent or with, you know, a father who just didn't give a lot of love or words of appreciation. And so you have a raw spot in you. You need some of that words of appreciation, or you need less of the criticism that you had growing up. And yet God brings into our lives what? Someone who isn't really good at giving that words of appreciation. Someone who is pretty much just like mom in those words of criticism or whatever the case might be. And we find that the people who we are closest to often are the ones who hurt us the most and are the most challenging ones to love. Once a pastor was kind of listening to me complain and talk about struggles and how difficult this was for me. And here's how he put it. Jerry, if the people who know you the least love you more than the people who know you the best, something's wrong. If the people who know you the least, like the ones in the pews that you serve, love you and like you better than the people who know you the best, the ones who see the real you at home, there's a problem. It's a pretty good test. And yet, whether it's the ones at home or it's the ones we grew up with that we might be seeing at this Christmas season, our siblings or our distant relatives, whoever it is in our life that is hard for us to love, perhaps it's worth it for us to close our eyes for a moment and think of just how hard it is for Jesus to love us. How hard it is for him to love me, who knows so much about his love, who knows so much about that love involves sacrifice and service and sincerity and truth, and who struggles so oftentimes to live out love with that purity and sincerity and truth. The one, those of us who know so much of the Bible, we can find the chapter and we can find the verse and we can maybe even quote it from memory, and yet the ability to live it out among those people whom we know and love the best can be so challenging, can be so very difficult. I wonder if the reason why it's hard for me, maybe perhaps it's sometimes hard for you, is because we're trying to do love all on our own. In other words, we sort of feel the little on the back of the head going, oh yeah, I know I'm supposed to love her. I know I really should love him, even though he's hurt me this way or let me down that way or didn't keep his promises over there. There's a movie out right now that maybe captures some of this. I think if I have the title of it right, it's called Bo is Back. I might be wrong about the name of the son, but it's a mom who is surprised that her son, who's in a recovery treatment program, comes home on Christmas Eve. She wasn't expecting him. Thought he was in this program to get himself all sober. And you see all of the hesitancy in her heart. You see all of the wonder and worry. Is he going to fall back because he's here? Is he, well, you know, if I say the wrong thing, is that going to set him off and he'll give up his recovery? And there's this dynamic of pain and hesitancy and worry and where can I step where there is no landmine? That's what it feels like when we're trying to do love on our own strength. We're trying to figure out how to weave a thread of love through there. This verse gives us a clue of a way that is easier. When he says, "We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us," our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus. Here's another way to hear that. We've let the love of God come so deep inside of us. We've marinated in that love. We've soaked in it. We've done what Jesus said, remain in my love, remain in my word, remain in me. So much so, his love has done so much to change us on the inside that we don't even see and remember the hurt the other people have done to us. We just love like he did. We just say, "Father, forgive them. They didn't really know what they were doing." We pray and live out the love that says, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." In other words, when our fellowship is with the Father, who so loved the world that he gave Jesus, and our fellowship is with his Son, Jesus Christ, who so loved you and me that he was willing to lay down his life so that we would know love, when we are so close to the triune God that his Spirit fills us, we will have the words and the actions of love towards the people we find it hard to love. Maybe they're the ones at home. Maybe they're the ones of different economic or cultural differences. Maybe they're neighbors who just we can't stand, or you know, other church people we've seen live hypocritical lives. But when our fellowship is with God, we'll notice his strength and his love more than we'll notice the other person's flaws. We will remember his love for us more than we will remember their hurtful words against us. And we will remember that God says, "As I have loved you, so I want you this Christmas and always to love one another." May our fellowship indeed be with him so that we can love as he loves, even if it means pain and suffering as it was for Jesus, it will mean something changed and beautiful and born again as he promised. Amen. I invite you to show your love to the one who came close to us as we give our offerings and tithes.